Hello and welcome to Internet Persuasion. We're going to talk about 10 distinct ways to increase your response. We're talking about 10 times here. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Who am I? I have been studying persuasion and influence and motivation and why people do what they do for the last 18 years. Why do they come to your website and leave? Why do they come and pretend to be interested and they're not? Why do they not purchase from your website? Why don't they go to your website? Why don't they answer your emails? Why isn't your social marketing working? Let's talk about it. Let's give you the answers. Let's get you the ability to explode your traffic on the internet. You don't want a little road going through a small town in the middle of nowhere. You want a major interstate going to your website. Increased response to your social marketing. More purchases off eBay. More people subscribe to your blogs. Whatever it is, we're going to talk about it. 10 ways to do that. I'm the author of Persuasion IQ, Maximum Influence, and the Laws of Charisma. This is what I do for a living. I study why people do what they do, and sometimes they don't even know why they do what they do. You ready for the answers? Get out your pen and your paper. Take some great notes. Well, unless you're driving. But remember these things. Apply these things. Everyone that you apply will increase your response rates. We know the internet's not going away. It's here to stay. It's only going to increase in size, increase in revenue. And you're probably wondering what's taking so long for you to get successful, to increase your traffic. I know you've met people out there that aren't that sharp, but they're making 10 times more money than you're making on the internet. They have 10 times more traffic than you have. What do they have that you don't have? Let's talk about it. Persuasion and influence has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. The internet's changed dramatically in the last year, 2 years, 3 years. It's always changing. You have to stay up with the change. Let me tell you a little story about the sun and the wind. They were bitter enemies. They hated each other. They both proclaimed to be the strongest element in the universe. The wind thought, hey, he could destroy. He could take down whole villages with his strong wind. And the sun's thinking, hello? I'm the center of life. Nobody lives without me. So they decide to have a contest. And the wind chose a contest and said, you see that old man down there that's walking? The first person to get him to take off his jacket is the most powerful element in the universe. So the wind went first, called in the clouds, a little rain, a little lightning, and the wind blew and blew. And the harder the wind blew on this old man's jacket, the tighter he held on. He held on tighter and tighter. The wind actually blew the man over, but the old man still held on. Sun kind of smiled. Wind says it's impossible. It's your turn. Sun just burned off the clouds, turned up the heat, beads of perspiration on the old man's forehead, and he took off his jacket. Why do I tell you this? Because that's where the internet's going. People don't want to be pushed. They don't want to be persuaded. Here's the key. The moment they sense that they're going to your website and you're going to try to grab their email address or get some money from them, they're going to resist you. The moment they sense you're going to try to persuade them to do something, even though they need it, want it, like it, can afford it, they will resist you. So you look at the great sites on the internet, they almost persuade without detection. And that's what our focus is going to be. And here's the big number you want to remember. It's 95%. Up to 95% of all persuasion and influence, especially on the internet, involves a subconscious trigger. What does that mean? It's a feeling. We like it, we don't like it, we trust them, we don't trust them, we buy from them, we won't buy from them, we'll give them our email address, we won't give them our email address, I'll sign up, I won't sign up. Those are all feelings. Wow, it could be the words you use, the colors of your website. It could be you're using the old style persuasion or the new. Do you have a balance between logic and emotion? Are you connecting with them? Do they like you? All this is happening within seconds, and we need to talk about that, and that's the focus of this audio today. Because the reality is the playing field has changed. Anyone can put up a website. Anyone can start a blog. Anybody can do an email campaign, do Twitter, do Facebook. So it changes the rules a little bit. Anybody can do these things. How do you stand out? How do you become magnetic where you're drawing people to you? They want to subscribe to your services. They want to listen to you. They want to read your blogs. They want to read your emails. How do you get to that point? Because when you look at the numbers, they're astounding. There are over 1 trillion unique URLs, according to Google. 1 trillion places where people can go on the internet. There's over 2 billion searches on Google a day. There are over 70 million videos on YouTube. There's over 100 million videos viewed on YouTube every day. I mean, if you wanted to watch all those videos on YouTube, it would take you 412 years. There's over 13 hours of video updated to YouTube every minute. Do you want to know how many blogs are out there? Over 133 million. Although the interesting thing is there's 346 million who read blogs on a daily basis. We know there's been over 1 billion tweets since the beginning of Twitter. Every day, there's over 3 million tweets. There's over 200 million active users on Facebook. 100 million of those log onto their Facebook every day. That's 170 different countries, 35 different languages. It is amazing what's happening out there. You know that. That's why you're trying to build a business or building a business on the internet. And I see too many people out there who decide to do an email campaign or start a blog or get on Twitter, Facebook, build a website, put something on eBay, and they say, well, it didn't work. I'm like, no, hold on, time out. It didn't work for you. We know it works. Look around you. People are being successful on email campaigns and blogs and Twitter and Facebook and websites and eBay. They are. So what are they doing that you're not doing? Let's learn those skills. So let's talk about the first one, what I call verbal packaging or the leverage of language. Did you know that every word that you use, whether it be in a video or in a blog or in an email or on your website, has the ability to attract or repel people? As Mark Twain said, the difference between the right word and the wrong word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Every word you use affects our attitudes and emotions. And when you use the right word, you come across as more credible, competent, and convincing. Keep your words as simple as possible. Simple words are more persuasive than complex words. Just by changing the word repair to fix, dramatically increased response rates. Every word matters. Look at the airline industry. Do they know how to package their words? You listen to the video presentation. What do they say? In the event of a water landing. That's verbal packaging. They don't say when the plane hits the water and the wings rip off. In the event of a water landing. Or even worse, in case of cabin depressurization. What does that mean? You're at 35,000 feet. There's a hole in the plane sucking everybody out, but in the event. You look at the barf bag, it doesn't say that. It says for motion discomfort. They never clean a plane, they refresh it. There's no bathroom, there's lavatories. Planes never broke. Mechanical difficulties. I've flown millions of miles and they've never lost my luggage. Imagine that. It's only been misplaced. This is important. You need to look at every word you use. Did you notice Kentucky Fried Chicken changed their name to KFC? The word fried. You notice there's no longer used cars. They're pre-owned. Have you noticed people no longer get fired? They get downsized or right-sized? That is verbal packaging. Don't use words like if. That's weak. That's not persuasive. That's not influential. Use when. Don't say try. Say will. Don't say could. Say can. Don't say hope. Guarantee it. And especially don't say but. But negates everything in front of it. Well, this is great because of this, this, and this, but you've negated it. Use the word and. And you want a power word? Write this one down. The word because. It's a subconscious trigger. When our mind reads because or hears it in a video, it's a subconscious trigger that you're going to give us a valid reason. Here's the study. Elaine Langer, she's a social psychologist at Harvard, she tests word choice. So she goes to the library and waits until there's about 5 people in line and tries to cut. And she wants to test compliance based on word choice. So the first time around, she says, excuse me, may I cut in line? I'm in a rush. That was around 60%. The next time she says, excuse me, may I cut in line because I'm in a rush? Shut up to over 90%. Now here's where it gets interesting. The third time she says, excuse me, may I cut in line because I need to make some copies? Well, duh. Why else would she be in line? But it didn't matter. It stayed in the 90 percentile and it was very persuasive. Every word matters. So tame your words. You don't say contract, you say agreement. You don't say cost, you say investment. You don't say expensive, it's top of line. You don't say it's cheaper, it's more economical. In fact, another study was done where they said, look, it's half price, buy one, get one free, or 50% off. Now, we all know those are basically the same. Half price, buy one, get one free, 50% off. Well, buy one, get one free, the way it was packaged, got a 40% higher response rate. Use attention-grabbing words. Benchmark what other people are doing. See what's grabbing in their industry. It matters. And stay away from what they call the weasel words. You know why they call them weasel words? Well, a weasel will sneak into a chicken coop, find an egg, suck everything out of the egg, and leave the hollow, empty egg there. So anything with weasel attached is hollow and empty. Words like it may, improved, almost, up to, possibly. Those are weasel words, and they are not very persuasive. Just remember, every word you use will either attract or repel the people on your blogs, or Facebook, or websites, or email campaigns, or on eBay. It matters. Number two is stories. Understand that stories persuade without detection. When you can tell a story through your blogs, through your websites, through your emails, wherever it is on the internet, it not only connects with people, but you can persuade without detection. Because when you can tell a great story, people put themselves in that situation. They start to live it. They start to feel it. They start to breathe it. You've been bored out of your mind before, but someone's telling a story. You're involved in a story. You are paying attention. If people aren't paying attention, you can't persuade them. So that's what stories do. They grab attention. They help you simplify complex ideas so you can make it easier for them to understand, especially if you're dealing with a product or a service or something that maybe the average person doesn't quite get. They also can demonstrate who you are. If you want to let people know that you're honest and you tell them that you're honest, they're not going to believe you that you're honest. But if you have a story about a time when you were honest, that is more persuasive than telling them. Learning to tell stories, whether it be face-to-face, in a blog, in an email, on your website, doesn't matter. It persuades with power, persuades without detection. Great persuaders know how to tell stories. But a few guidelines. Most people tend to be a little long-winded. We know you don't have that much time to grab people's attention on the internet, but do make sure your stories are believable. Now, your stories are always true, but not all true stories are believable. Make sure they're believable. Make sure it's something that you're passionate about, and make sure you come across as authentic. Take a look at your stories. Is it something that you've lived, which is the best? Or maybe you could pull from something that somebody else has lived, and get their permission, of course. Does this story fit your audience? Does it resonate with them? And even bigger and more important than that is, does it support your message? Remember, as great persuaders, you are problem solvers. When you tell a story, does it answer their questions? Does it help solve their challenges? Does it fix their problem? People love to follow stories. That's why blogs have become so popular. It's almost like an extended story. If you're still struggling with this, I know you have personal stories that you can use, things that have happened throughout your life, things that happen on a daily basis. If not, remember, talk to friends or family, or even observation. Go to the mall. Watch other people. Go to the books, internet. Watch movies. Those are all stories and things that you can pull from. The big key here to be persuasive and to tell stories is to paint the picture. When they read that story or hear that story, it's like they're watching a movie. It's coming alive. It's real to them. They can see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. Be generous with the details. Be vivid. Capture their senses. Again, see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. And when that story becomes a movie, becomes vivid, becomes real, that's when you can persuade them. That's when you influence without detection. And that's what gets people to follow you on Twitter or Facebook or on your blogs. And that's what can get people to subscribe to your email lists. Let's get into number three. Let's talk about price versus value. You want to increase your response rate. You want more people to buy. You want more people to do what you want them to do. You have to build the value. too many people tend to fight on price instead of building the value. Only 6% of all purchases are purchased based solely on price. But everyone tends to fight on price. Anybody can fight on price. Let's build the value. You know, I'm not one to sugarcoat it, but I'll tell you what. If they look at your price or whatever you want them to do and they think it's too much work or they think it's too expensive, you're the one that's blown your presentation, blown your email, blown your copy. Because when you truly research why people buy, the first one, past experience. Okay, so maybe it's their first time. Then they're going to look, okay, is the quality there? The third one, did somebody recommend them? And the fourth, bottom of the list, reasonably priced. We don't buy everything on price. You don't always eat at McDonald's. You don't always shop at a thrift store. You don't always drink water. When the value's there, price becomes a non-issue. You have to understand human nature and human perception. When they look at your product or service or whatever you want them to do, they benchmark it. They automatically assign a price to it based on past experience. Doesn't matter whether that's right or wrong, that's reality. Remember those subconscious triggers? So here's the question. Do they compare your product or service to a used car or to a Rolls Royce? It is up to you. So let's talk about a couple ways to do that. The first one comes from an old sales technique that still works called reduce it to the ridiculous. People no longer think in price, they think in monthly payments. That's a big shift in consumer behavior. So what you want to do, and you've heard it before, you've seen it on infomercials, well, for 22 cents a day, or for 37 cents a week, or for an extra $5 a month, or you fill in the blank. That's what you can do to really build the value. So what you're talking about to get this, and you fill in the benefit, we're talking about a buck a day, a cafe latte a day, a soda a day. That puts things into perspective. The next one with building value, and this is critically important on the internet, is learning to sweeten the pot. You see this on infomercials all the time. It makes the deal sweeter than it actually is. So you're watching an infomercial, which is a great lesson in persuasion. When you see an infomercial that's really working, they'll show you a product or service and in your mind you'll say, yeah, I'd pay $100 for that. Then all of a sudden it's $300. So they start high and you roll your eyes, but then they say, but wait, there's more. Understand that the bonuses that you offer are more important many times than the actual product or service. Too many people tend to clump everything they get in one big package. That reduces the value. Let me give you an example. From a bake sale, one day they said, today you get one cupcake and two cookies for 75 cents, and 40% of the people bought. The next day, to a different group of people, they said, today you get one cupcake for 75 cents, and as a bonus, you get two cookies. 70% bought. Just by changing the offer around, which was essentially the same, went from 40% to 70%. This is very important to you. Separate your offer. You have your main offer, and then you have your bonuses. It increases the value. When you lump everything together, it decreases the value, and it's harder for people to purchase because the value is not there. Remember, some people will purchase just for the bonus. What can you offer that has high value and low cost? A report, free delivery, gift wrapping, extended warranty, a free consult, a webinar, a teleconference, audios they can download. Things that are relevant to your product or service, not things you're just pulling out of your garage, but things that are relevant that add value, people buy based on bonuses and increases the value of your product and service. The fourth way to increase your response, increase your traffic, increase your sales is psychological reactance. What is that? It's scarcity, it's urgency. What is human nature? If they think they can come back at any time, if they have all the time in the world to make a decision, they'll take all the time in the world. That's human nature. If you have a project that's supposed to take 6 months, it will take 6 months, or probably even longer. We need deadlines, we need urgency, we need scarcity, but this is so abused and overused that a lot of people don't buy into it. But we still need to have it, and we need to do it the right way. It needs to be believable. You see that urgency, that scarcity. The human brain fears the potential loss of something has more emotional impact than the thought of potential gain. So the emotional impact of losing $100 is stronger than the emotional impact of gaining $100. So things are more valuable when they're scarce or less available. It drives people to action. We tend to resist restrictions. In fact, you put children in a room full of toys. There's 20 toys. They say, oh, don't touch that one. They'll approach that one they're not supposed to touch 3 times faster. So you need to build that urgency, that scarcity, that psychological reactance to get them to act now. Because if they don't act now, if they don't make a decision now, chances are they will never make it. You know that. I know that. Let's fix it. A good example of this is the Home Shopping Network. They build that scarcity. Not only is there a timer going down, so when the time's up, the product's gone, but there's also quantity. The quantity is only so many that you can buy that drives people to purchase. You've seen it before with shoe stores. When they say, oh, last one left in your size, that creates urgency and scarcity. Limited supply, sale ends today, limit 4, limit 5, limit 2. All those things increase scarcity. What about Disney? What do they do? Their DVDs? Oh, last time this decade, last time this century, then it's going back into the Disney vault. The going out of business sales, not available in stores, are all different ways to increase that urgency, that scarcity. But again, it has to be believable. You have to give them a reason for that urgency, that scarcity. If they think you're pulling it out of the air, that it's a bunch of bunk, it will have the opposite effect. So how do we use this? You need to create a deadline. Why they need to do it today? Why? Could it be limited space? Could it be something that if they don't act now, they will lose out and lose out forever? Maybe you need to restrict their freedom, only accepting 10 people. Or maybe they won't qualify. Are different ways to build up that urgency and that scarcity. Might be a once-in-a-lifetime event, might be hard to find, might be a lost opportunity. What can you do to create that urgency, that scarcity, that they need to act right away? Because if you don't want them to act right away, again, they probably won't act, and they feel no reason to act. Remember, it has been abused, and when it's used the wrong way, it will backfire on you. So let me give you a little tool here. Here's one thing you can do to increase your response, to increase the number of people that purchase from you. So how do we use this? When you use scarcity, you need to buffer it with some type of reward. So when you say something like, you need to act today, sale ends today, first 10 people today, whatever it is, you create that urgency, buffer it with some type of reward. For those first 10 people that do act today, we'll give them an additional 50% up. We'll extend their warranty. We'll give them an extra bonus. Understand how that works? Whenever you use that urgency and that scarcity, what you need to do, make sure it's believable, then buffer it with some type of reward. So here's the scarcity. This is why you need to act, and this is why. But then buffer it with that reward they're going to get. When we use it, it works every time. Follow that formula. Let's get into number 5. Let's call it reciprocity. Have you noticed the big trend on the internet? Free, free, more free. Look at Google. Free, free, free. Why? Free people become paying customers. People are so skeptical now that unless you give them something for free to prove your worth, to prove your value, to prove to them that they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they are not going to purchase from you. Give them a taste of the meal and they'll want the whole meal. Prove your worth. Give them something for free. That is the new model. It is called obligation. It is called reciprocity. When you give somebody something of value and don't necessarily expect something in return, you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart. People feel a strong need to return the favor, meaning purchasing your product or service. This need is embedded in every culture. When we are given something of value, we want to eventually return the favor, and sometimes we don't even think it through. It's one of those subconscious triggers. We know that when you include stickers and direct mail with your return address, it increases response rates. We know that when you have a free membership area and they love it, it increases the number of people that will go in your paid membership area. What can you give away of value that can prove your worth? What type of information can you give away? What type of gifts can you give them? What is it that you can give away that'll increase your value to get people into your world? Because a lot of times they'll go to your website or wonder if they should subscribe to your newsletter. Sometimes you have to give away something for free. Get them into your world. It works. Then they feel a need later on, after you've proved your worth, they like what you're doing, to purchase from you. Here's a funny non-internet example. A college professor went through the white pages and addressed Christmas cards to people he didn't even know. They would receive them, and he started getting Christmas cards back from people he didn't know. 20 years later, he's still getting Christmas cards. When you give somebody something, they have a need to return the favor. It's reciprocity. Learn to give away things for free. You have things. I know you're like, well, it's worth more than that. Yes, it is worth more than that. But unless they know that, it's not going to matter. You could tell them all day long, well, it's worth it. It's great information. You need this product or service. That's great. But until they can taste it, touch it, feel it many times, until you give them a piece of the pie or something for free, a lot of times they will never know. This is a big change. Free people become paying customers. Understand and use reciprocity in your blogs, on your websites, in your email campaigns, on Facebook, wherever it is. Give away good content, give away good value. You'll create raving fans. They'll love what you're doing. They'll tell other people about it, and eventually they will purchase whatever you're selling. So the sixth way to dramatically increase your response rate on the internet is to understand balance. The balance between logic and emotion. You've always heard to sell on emotion, but you'd be amazed how many people don't. They focus on logic. This is what they do. You look at their copy on their websites. What they do is they vomit. Yes, I said it, vomit all the features and benefits, and hoping one will stick, and every once in a while it works, and it sucks the life out of most people. We are very emotional creatures. In fact, most people can't even tell the difference between emotion and logic. Here's the study. They took a room full of college students, gave them a very controversial topic, and they had half the students record a video presentation using only logic and the other half using only emotion. And they showed this to other students in different classes, and all the students had to do was say, okay, is this an emotional appeal or a logical appeal? And they were all over the board. They couldn't figure it out. What they were guessing was wrong most of the time. Sometimes it was right. So they did a little more research, asked a few more questions, and this is what they found out. If they agreed, they labeled it as logical. If they disagreed, they labeled it as emotional. We know that emotions are critical. You need to tap into those emotions. Remember, people buy on emotion, and once those emotions are gone, they need to have that logic. So you need to have both. But most people blow it on the combination. There needs to be a balance of logic and emotion. And using the emotions in the right way. Was it Dale Carnegie that said, when dealing with people, remember you're not dealing with creatures of logic, but with creatures of emotion, creatures bristling with prejudice and motivated by pride and vanity. I know you don't always have the face-to-face interaction through the internet, but emotions are just as important. Emotions create movement, they create energy, and we need to understand that emotion will win over logic every time. Imagination will win over reality every time in most people's mind. Now, of course, you need to have the logic there, but it's the emotion that drives people to action. That's how you increase traffic. When you can tap into any one of the human emotions, the emotions that you're trying to trigger, you will get more action. You will get more movement. You will get more subscribers. What emotion do you want to trigger? Think about it. What emotion do you want to trigger? Trigger it, and you will see a bigger response than what you're doing. Then while you're doing that, you still need to have a foundation of logic. We know that logic appeals to reason. What evidence do you have? What facts, statistics, studies do you have that will prove what you're doing works, will solve that problem? That's a big thing I see on the internet as I analyze websites or blogs or email campaigns, is people are lopsided. Some are more emotional. Some tend to be too emotional. Some tend to be too logical. There needs to be a balance there. Use both, and you'll see a big difference in your response rates. Number 7, which seems strange in the digital world, is connectivity, your ability to connect with people. There needs to be some type of connection, some type of bond between you and your reader that helps them connect with you. What are some things that you can do to connect with people? Because if there's no connection, they're not going to stay with your tweets. They're not going to stay on your Facebook. They're not going to stay on your blogs unless there's some type of connection there. When you've connected with somebody, it dramatically increases your ability to persuade them. The doors of persuasion swing wide open when you've connected with them. How do we do this? Well, there's a variety of ways. Let's talk about those. The first one with connectivity is finding some type of similarity. What do you have in common with your reader? Is it your before picture? What do I mean by that? Maybe you've gone through something that they're struggling with right now. Bankruptcy, weight gain, selling a home, marketing a home-based business, something that they're having a challenge with that you've had the same challenge, overcome it, and now you've had the solution. That dramatically increases your connectivity. Is it an opinion, your lifestyle, your background? What do you have in common with that person? When you have something in common, they are much easier to persuade. They're much easier to get movement from when you're able to do that. Now, when you find similarities, make sure it's something relevant to what you're doing. Just don't pull something out of the blue like, well, really? I'm a Gemini. First of all, it's probably too broad for the internet. Second of all, it probably has nothing to do with what you're selling. It might. If it does, great. Make sure it's relevant. And understand positive similarities tend to connect people faster than the negative ones. Find something positive that you have in common. These are human beings we're talking about. You can find something that you have in common with everybody that you're communicating with. The next one that's part of connectivity, again, might seem odd through our digital age, is people skills. 90% of all people rate their people skills as above average. We know that's not true, and we know that we've never arrived on our people skills, and people sense your people skills through your communications. Even though you're not interacting with them face-to-face, they can sense your people skills, how you communicate, the words you use. Remember, we've talked about that. Do you show them and others respect? Do you use their name in a lot of your correspondence? Do you seem truly interested in them, what they're going through, and solving their problem? Wasn't it Dale Carnegie, one of the greats in people skills, that said, by becoming interested in other people, you'll get them to like you faster than if you spent all day trying to get them interested in you. Basic, fundamental. Most people are blowing it and think they're doing okay. Critical in your ability to connect. What can you do to connect with people? What can you do to build that rapport, that kind of harmonious link you have with people? That's why they're following you. That's why they want to read about you. That's why they're on your blogs. That's why they're reading your emails, going to your websites. There's some type of connection. How do you increase that connection? In the physical world, we talk about mirror and matching, where you mirror their gestures. But there's other things you can do online. Mirroring their language, finding out what language is relevant to them, language that they're using, that connects you with people. The energy level in your communications. If your energy level is way too high, that will repel some people. Face-to-face, you tend to mirror their energy. Over the net, a lot of times you have to monitor your energy. If you're too high or too low, sometimes that will repel people. Again, what can you do to build that connection between you and your reader? You and your subscriber, you and the person watching your YouTube video. Think about that, because when that connection is there, remember I said it, it dramatically increases your ability to persuade and influence. Number 8, let's talk a little bit about the law of association or color. One of the 12 laws of persuasion is the law of association, which helps us understand association triggers What does that mean to you? When people come to your website, could the color of your website trigger different emotional responses, causing them to stay longer or flee faster? The answer is abso-freaking-lutely. Music, smells, color all affect association triggers and how we feel about something. Let's focus on color. The colors you're using on your websites and your email campaigns. Colors mean different things, have different emotional responses. Some studies show that up to 60% of the acceptance or rejection of your message comes back to the color. We know that yellow is the first color that will grab people's attention, but it's also the first color to annoy. Haven't you noticed that fire hydrants are becoming yellow because it's the first color that we notice? The challenge is most people just grab colors because they look good. Well, looking good's important and having a good contrast is important, but what do those colors really mean? Let me give you a few examples. Let me give you some food examples. When margarine first came out, it was white. Didn't feel right with people, so they didn't buy it. They put a little food coloring in it, now they buy it. Gallons of milk in the clear plastic. Did you know that if they made it a little yellow, the plastic, a little darker yellow, the milk would last longer, but then they found out nobody would buy it because it just didn't feel right. They came out with green ketchup, tasted the same, didn't sell. They came out with Crystal Pepsi, clear Pepsi, didn't sell because when you're buying Pepsi, it's dark. They did a study with coffee. They had people come into a room to test and try coffee. They wanted to find out which coffee they liked the best. So they had four different containers, a blue container, a yellow container, a brown container, and a red container. What the participants did not know is it was the same batch of coffee in all four containers. What happened? Well, the blue container, they said the coffee was too mild. The yellow container, it was too weak. The brown container was too strong, but the red container was rich and full-bodied, was just right. So it's time to do a little research and think through the colors that you were using, because you can't increase your response rate if the colors are causing people to run away and not stay long enough to read your blogs or visit your website or read your emails. We know that red is anger, danger, and excitement. Yellow tends to be intelligence. The first one, again, that triggers in the mind, but it can annoy very fast. Green can signify prosperity, endurance, and growth. Just a note here, this could change from culture to culture, and it also could change from industry to industry. Red in some industries is different than red in others. So you need to take a look at your target market. Orange, warmth, brightness, but it can trigger unpleasantness. Purple tends to be royalty, passion, authority. White's clean, innocent, pure. Black could be death, evil, wicked. Grays, don't recommend grays. It's kind of a neutral nothingness, indecision. Blue tends to be one of the more credible colors, truth, harmony, even relaxation. Gold, expensive, prestige. Silver tends to be cold and sometimes even scientific. We could spend all day on this, but I want you to think it through. Look at your target market, look at your industry, and also the contrast between the colors that you're using. What emotions is that triggering in the people that are viewing your websites or your emails? Because you can't increase your response rate if they're not there long enough to respond. Simple, but critical to your success. And then number 9 is social validation. To be on your Facebook or Twitter accounts, social validation is critical because people will always believe other people before they believe you. We are social creatures. I mean, when you look at social networking, it's important that we socialize because we like to be part of a group. And the best way to increase your group is to get other people to recommend your group. That is social validation. Other ways to do that is to be the most popular or the fastest selling or a certain expert in this area, in this field. That increases your social validation. We know in bookstores, even on websites, when there's a New York Times bestseller or Oprah recommends, that is social validation. I was analyzing a website once and they had two options. You could do a monthly subscription, and obviously the annual subscription was a lot more money, But they just put a little thing below it that says, this is our most popular option, and it dramatically increased the subscriptions for the annual over the monthly. Social validation. What is the easiest way to do this? Well, the first one is get others to recommend you. Make it easy for them to do that by sending an email to their friend or by giving them a bonus for recommending friends. The next one is getting testimonials. Remember what I said? People will believe other people before they believe you. When you can have a testimonial, somebody else endorsing you, your product, or your service, it increases your credibility, enhances your image, decreases their skepticism, and is a huge part of your social validation. Ask for testimonials. Make sure they're believable. Always truthful, but make sure they're believable. It could be truthful, but people might not believe them. Make sure they're short and specific. Get as much information from them as possible. Their full name, location, photo, video if you can. Some type of benefit claim or income claim is also very important with your testimonials. Just a word of caution here. If you ask people for testimonials, they'll give them to you, but they might not be exactly what you want. Maybe you want to give them a list of questions they can answer in their testimonials. Maybe you want to write it for them. Can you do that? Absolutely. Write it for them. Say, look, this is our experience together. You said you'd give me a testimonial. Can you change a few things, make it yours, adjust it? And they will. They'll change a few words and they'll adjust it. Then you'll have it. It's done. If they say yes, make sure it's instant. Get them to do it right then and there. Because if they wait, as you know, chances are they might not do it. Get those testimonials. Get other people to recommend you. And it will dramatically increase your response, your sales, and the amount of people that follow you. And finally, number 10, not sure if you want a drum roll or not, motivation. If you can't motivate them to do something, you are wasting their time. If they say, oh, that was nice, but don't do anything, it's not helping you out. It will destroy your response rates. Let's talk a little bit about motivation. There are two types of motivators. You can say pleasure, pain, reward, punishment, but I'll put it to you this way. It's either inspiration or desperation. And a lot of people have mastered that fear, that desperation, that if they don't do it, all these bad things are going to happen. And there's a time and place for fear. And I always ask people, is it okay to use fear to persuade? And the answer is sure it is, but it needs to be used in the right way. Is it okay for your dentist to say only floss the teeth you want to keep? Well, yeah, I think so. But use it in the right way. This is what I want to tell you. Remember, you were problem solvers. And if they don't fix their problem, there will be some desperation, there will be some fear, there'll be some things that go wrong, and it's okay to use that. And most people have done that okay. But what I'm telling you, if you want to increase your response rate, you need to buffer that with a little inspiration, a little hope. Tell them all the things that'll go wrong if they don't do it. Give them a little fear, but also help them see the future, what they're going to get, what they're going to benefit, that inspiration, that hope. And that makes a big difference in balancing those together. Just like emotion and logic, you need to balance your motivation between inspiration and desperation. You need to use a little of both. Such a simple thing, but most people aren't doing it in the right way. Let me recap on that. Use the desperation, use the fear, make sure the fear is believable, make sure it's something they feel capable of overcoming, and then buffer that with a little inspiration, the hope, the vision of the future. That helps diminish their worry, that helps them see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. You will not get movement. You cannot persuade them unless they can see themselves doing what you're asking them to do. Use inspiration and desperation together. There you have it. I hope you took some great notes. I hope you plan on implementing at least one of these a week. Every one of these you implement will dramatically increase your traffic, increase your ability to get the response that you want, increase the number of sales that you want to get. These are the 10 ways to increase your response rate, to increase your ability to persuade on the internet. You'll see dramatic returns. Again, add one a week. When somebody visits your website or goes to your blog or your Facebook, wherever it is, it's too late to persuade them. It needs to be planned through ahead of time. And that's where a lot of people blow it on the internet. They put it up and they think about persuasion later. Once they're there, you probably have one shot at them. If you're not persuasive, if you're not influential, if you're not connecting, if you're using the wrong type of motivation or the 10 things we talked about today, you've blown it. Remember, everything you want in life is on the other side of persuasion. We all persuade for a living as parents, teachers, leaders, managers, especially through the internet. There is a direct relationship between how persuasive you are and how much money you're going to make on the internet. When you can master these skills, it will change your life, it will change your relationships, and it will also change your income. Thanks for spending some time with me. Again, my name is Kurt Mortensen. Persuade with power, master these skills, and then together we can all go out and make the world a better place.